Welcome back to the second hour of Guitar Tracks. I'm your host, Brian Tarquin. Tonight I bring you a very special and rare interview with fusion guitar icon John McLaughlin from Mahavishnu Orchestra, one of my favorite fusion bands. So John tells me how he started with piano and went on to guitar.
I had three elder brothers, and we're going to go back a long time now. Studying piano at the age of eight. My mother was an amateur violinist, and she tried to teach me violin, but it was useless. I couldn't stand the sound. I was playing so badly. So I ended up studying piano for the next 3 years. Rewind to 52, 53, something like this. And this was the moment, what they call the blues boom, hit the UK. Especially amongst the universities and the students in the universities. I had already two brothers at university, and they got hit by it. And one of them bought a guitar and brought it home. He had it. He was playing it and stuff like that. But I wasn't really paying much attention. I thought, oh, it was kind of cute instrument, you know, but I was playing the piano. And then after 6 months, he got bored, and he handed it to the number two brother, who went on for another 6 months, got bored. Number three brother in the meantime disappeared. So all of a sudden he came up to me, he said, it's now yours. And he showed me the D chord, and I played that and the guitar against my body. That was it. I quit the piano right away. I started to sleep with the guitar. I mean, that's a true love affair, Ryan. And it hasn't ended after all these years. Something, huh? Because it was the blues boom that was, you know, I mean, it was a tsunami in the UK at that time. It was amazing. It was a revelation for me. You know, I've been playing Mozart and Beethoven, Haydn, and all of a sudden I started to play the guitar. And at the same time, you know, my brothers, they saw how taken I was with the guitar. And so they said, okay. And they started to bring records in. Muddy Waters, the first one. I mean, unreal. You know, kids learning classical piano and suddenly taking with the guitar and then to hear Muddy Waters. But I mean, going back when he was playing acoustic slide with Little Walter on harp, loose harp, and a bass player whose name I don't recall. That was amazing. And they just kept bringing them in. It was like Lead Belly, you know, Huddy Leadbetter.
The 50s was a really interesting time in England because there was a real blues sensation coming over from America, and young English musicians were discovering all these blues licks. John went on and told me that he was great friends with Cream and Eric Clapton and jammed with them.
I mean, shortly after that, three years later, they went off with Eric and made Cream. And I was really happy for them because they really made it big. They made it big. But, you know, if you talk to Eric about Jack and Ginger, he'll tell you too. Very intense, a little too intense, actually, for me, but very provocative. And I like that. I like to be provoked on stage. So Jack came in Lifetime, and Lifetime took on a new dimension with Jack in there playing bass and singing. And so Antoni had me writing music all the time. And I could say quite safely that a lot of the work and the music of Mahavishnu had its roots in Lifetime. And so by the time Miles told me to get the band, we had the Jack Johnson sessions, and Billy knocked me out. I mean, you know, the opening tune right off, that's a tune that started because Miles was in the control room with Teo Massaro, and we were all sitting there. There was Michael Henderson playing bass. Herbie was playing this farfisa organ, really far out. Steve Grossman was playing saxophone, I think. There was who was the guy playing bass clarinet? Gee, I forget his name. Anyway. So I'm getting bored, and I had been working on this thing that eventually became the Dance of Maya. And I thought, well, I just want a boogie. So I started playing, you know, using these strange changes that I'd been fooling around with, and only with a shuffle, you know. So I just started playing. Billy picked it up. Michael Henderson picked it up. And we hit a groove within a minute. That is right off. Because Miles heard that, what we were doing, he ran into the studio with his trumpet and proceeded to play the most amazing trumpet I'd ever heard him play. And you listen to him play, and there's actually really nice dialogue goes on, develops with the guitar and the trumpet. It's just, it was such a trip because it was totally spontaneous. And some of the harmonies I'm using with in Right Off, there, what eventually became Dance of Maya. So you can see the link there, you know. I was coming from Tony through Miles and eventually into Mahavishnu, but more developed. You know, I had a chance to develop all my ideas with Mahavishnu. But it was wonderful to work with Miles, to see how, because he was a real master in the studio. And I knew, because by that time, as I said before, I'd gotten to know him pretty well by hanging out with him in this house. And he didn't really, he had some ideas, he had some sketches, you know, but what he was looking for before the sketches came in, he wanted to find the right groove. But he didn't really know what it was or how to get it. So it was experiment. So he'd count off a beat, you know, and we start playing. And then he'd talk to the bass player and just say, you know, play more space. You know, and then come up to me and need to let me hear the Walker Chew. You know, I mean, it was beautiful. And then sometimes he'd stop the drama and just like say, boom, boom, okay. You know, the most obscure instruction you'd ever hear in your life. But you know, we'd settle into a groove, and as soon as he liked it, then he stopped playing, and you know, and then the sketches would be played, and this is how the album developed. Because he didn't know what he wanted, but he knew what he didn't want.
I love John's stories about Miles in the studio. I think it's great how Miles was really leaving it up to the guys and just giving them very loose instructions. Now John tells me how he formed Mahavishnu Orchestra and how he got Jan Hammer to join the band.
Well, that's another strange story, because before I left the UK and moved to Belgium, I'd met Miroslav Vitus. And we got real tight in Europe. And then when I moved to New York, you know, we carried on the friendship and recorded together. I'm on one of his first albums, Something Mountains. It's a really nice album with Joe Henderson. Anyway, and this is right after Miles told me to form my own band. I got a call from Miroslav, and he said, "Listen, John, I'm with Joe Zawinul and Wayne Shorter. We're making a band called Weather Report. We want you to be in it." And I said, "Oh, man, what a cool idea." So we're going back to the very beginning. I said, "But I'm under orders. You know, I have to form my own band. Miles has told me I got to do it." You know, and he said, "Yeah, well, I can take that right off." He said, "But listen, if you need a keyboard player, you need a piano player, because Jan Hammer, because they're both from Prague." And I said, "No, I never heard of him." He said, "Yeah, of course he never heard of him. But for his CV, he's out right now in California playing piano with Sarah Vaughan." And they said, "Sarah Vaughan? He's playing with Sarah Vaughan? I want him. She was amazing. What a musician. What a singer. If you accompany Sarah Vaughan, you can play." So I knew he could play. I told him, I said, "Listen, I want him. Tell him, call him, have him call me, and we'll do it." And that was it. That's how Jan came in. Rick and I, we've already been playing in the UK with a guy called Brian Auger, who eventually moved out to the coast, to the West Coast, playing kind of R&B jazz. But I wanted a violin player. My mother played violin, as I said before. But I didn't want a jazz player. And I knew Jean-Luc Ponty, but I didn't want this kind of straight ahead jazz. I wanted a blues player, actually, you know. And I was hunting around. Finally, I found an album of The Flock. Remember that band? We're talking late 60s, 68, 69. They made one album. I heard this guy playing violin, and I said, "This is the guy," you know, and I called him. And we did an album, a much more sober album first. I had a contract with this guy called Alan Douglas, who was, shall I say, not the most honest, decent person. And I had to finish off a two-record contract. And I wanted to do with acoustic guitar, because I was really angry with him. And I didn't want to see him. I just wanted to get over. I mean, I had peanuts. He sold it about 20 times. Anyway, To make a long story short, so it was called My Goals Beyond, which is just acoustic guitar on one side, sometimes solo, sometimes multi-tracked, two guitars. And then on the flip side, Billy's playing, because we were all rehearsing together. I had Jerry come on, and Bartel Roy, a tabla player, because I was already getting into Indian music. I don't remember the saxophone player's name. But that was My Goals Beyond, which actually became very successful. And it's too bad I didn't make any money out of it. Those were the days. But from that point, once that album and my contract was over, I was able to sign with CBS. And we started rehearsing. But actually, I started rehearsing with Billy at least 3 weeks before the rest of the band came in. So by the time they came in, I had so much music. I had more than an album's worth. Because Billy and me, we were so tight by the time Jan came in, Rick and Jerry, it was just so easy. And they could play anything. And we went in, I'll never forget the opening. We were opening up to John Lee Hooker. I love John Lee. Anyway, we did a week, but it was so successful, they held us over for another week. And right after that, we went into the studio, caught it live, just like we've been doing at the Whiskey. You know, and that was in a mounting flame. And gee, the rest is history, isn't it? I and many other people did not expect such a reaction, such a wonderful and positive reaction. It really blew me away.
You know, that was an incredible time in the early 70s for music, where experimental and progressive bands were really welcomed with open arms. Now John tells me his relationship with Larry Coryell, how we miss him dearly, and Paco de Lucia.
Oh, I love Larry. He cut a tragic figure in the world, didn't he? I know, because when I hooked up with Paco, and I said, you know, we got to have three guitars. And I thought of Larry right away, because I loved the way Larry played. And what a fine musician. Already, I mean, we're going back to 78 here. But he had personal problems, and he was drinking, and it was very difficult. It was very difficult. And in the end, I mean, both Paco and I would be on the road, and suddenly we'd lose Larry. We didn't know where he was. It was a very difficult time, and I felt really bad for him, because I loved him. I really did love Larry, because we met already in the UK. I mean, before I even got to know him better in the US. And he was a sweetheart and a lovely musician. Paco had hooked up with Al, and he said, well, you know, when Larry left, he said, let's get Al in, you know. That actually, you know, that really kicked up another storm with this Friday night in San Francisco. That was another trip, wasn't it? But, you know, but Paco and I, yeah, he was very dear to me too. Gee, I miss him. I miss him. We were supposed to record. He passed away on the 25th of February, 2014, day I'll never forget. And but I'd spoken to him about 10 days just before he left, the evening before he left Spain for Central America, Mexico, because he bought it in Mexico. We were planning, we'd already organized a lot of music to make a duo album, a duo acoustic album at that time. Anyway, it wasn't to be.
Oh, how we would have loved to have heard a new John and Paco album. Now John explains his new album, Is That So?
It's with Shankar Mahadevan, the singer, and Zakir Hussain. It's a very different album, 6 years in the making. It's not everybody's cup of tea, and it's a milestone in all of our lives, the singer, Zakir, the tabla player, and me.
It was such a great honor to speak to John McLaughlin. He's such a fantastic musician, has brought us such great compositions with the Mahavishnu Orchestra. And here's one of them from 1971, The Dance of the Maya. We'll be right back.
This is John McLaughlin. You're listening to Guitar Tracks on FM 89.5.
Bande. तेरे पास में मैं तो तेरे पास में मुको कहा ढूंढे रे बंदे मैं तो तेरे पास में रे बंदे तीरत में ना मूरत में ना एकांत निवास में ना पास में रे बंदे मैं तो तेरे पास में
That is Kabir by John McLaughlin, Shankar Mahavadan, and Zakir Hussain. Is That So? Is the album. Before that was Cosmic Strut by Mahavishnu Orchestra.